I think we'll start the meeting. It's 2 o'clock. It's okay. Thank you. Well, thanks for coming, everyone, and I hope you're enjoying your time in Toronto. How many people are from outside of Toronto here today? Huh? You mean I'm the only one? Oh, my God. That's really exciting. That's very exciting. Come on. Do you want to move up? Okay. All right. We'll leave you back there then. Anyway, welcome. I think we'll start the meeting with a moment of silence, and we'll follow it by the Serenity Prayer. Can we have that moment of silence now, please? And the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm going to read the anonymity statement. There may be some who are not familiar with our traditions of personal anonymity at the public level. If so, we respectfully ask that no Al-Anon, Alateen, or AA speaker or member be identified by full name or picture in published or broadcast report of our meeting. The assurance of anonymity is essential to our efforts to help other families and friends of alcoholics, and our tradition of anonymity reminds us that Al-Anon and Alateen principles come before personalities. There are no announcements from World Service Office, but I would ask that if any of you are carrying cell phones, if you would turn them off now, please. Thanks. I did remember to do mine just before the meeting. So, my name is Chris. I'm a very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, and we see in this particular conference how worldwide it really is. My home group now is Toronto, is North Toronto, Canada, but I just recently relocated from the Cayman Islands, where I was part of starting a group down there, and it was a wonderful experience. I qualify to be a member of Al-Anon because I was raised in a family where alcohol was a big problem, but very well hidden. My mother did a wonderful job supervising my dad and his drinking and the family. And my heart goes out to her as I think of what she must have lived with, not having the support of this wonderful fellowship. So I'm a very grateful member of this wonderful program. And we just lost our mic.
Oh, there, I think it's
on. Oh, okay, thanks. Our speaker today is Kay from California. I've lost it again. Oh, and the topic is expanding my recovery. And Kay found out that she was going to be our speaker about 10 minutes ago. So would you welcome her warmly to this meeting and to this conference. Thank you, Kay.
Okay. I would prefer to stand, but it's set up to sit, so bear with me. I don't think I'm going to sound any different sitting down. It's just that out of habit, I'm used to standing up. I'm delighted to be here today, and it was took a little figuring out for Chris and I to talk about what a moderator does, what a speaker does, and then for me to put my California experience behind me and just remain open-minded to what needs to be done here. I want to let you know how I got the privilege, and it's truly a privilege to be here today to share with you. This wasn't what I set out to do. My husband Mac, who's here in the room with me, thank you. We were in the convention center the other day, and we went around toward the Al-Anon desk doing what I've been taught to do, which is to go find the people that have made the commitment to put on such a wonderful international worldwide conference such as this. But I've been taught to do that from the very beginning, my early days of Al-Anon, and to thank the women and gentlemen that make the commitment. I did that, and someone recognized my voice at the table, a woman that now works at our World Service Office in Virginia Beach, and she had met me about 15 or 17 years ago at a little district a one-day deal in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was asked to go over there and share my experience. And to be quite honest with you, I was not really happy about going over and doing this one-day little deal. I felt I had those feelings of inadequacy and what am I going to do flying over there? And I didn't at that time have much service experience, and I was being sent anyway. And I had to really tidy up my attitude to get over there and do what I was asked to do. And this woman was there. She was a district rep in New Mexico at the time. So I round the table, thanked the people, and this woman said, "Is your name Kay?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "Are you from California?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Oh, my gosh, my name is Dolores. And I have had your tape for years. You came to a district deal where I was a rep, and I can't believe that I'm going to get to meet you in person, and can I give you a hug?" And she comes out from behind the table and with a little paper in her hand and said, after we had hugged, "You wouldn't be willing to do some Al-Anon service this weekend, would you?" And I said, "Yes, that I would." And she said there was an opening on participating in a meeting, and that's how I got to get here. So I'm just overly grateful and excited about the privilege to be able to share at any level at a worldwide international convention. That is indeed quite an honor, and I want you to know how honored I feel. I want to thank my friends from California that are here today, and there's quite a few, and I'm so, yes, that's right, all across the room there, that's right. And that's what you get when you go to meetings and you're seen and every week and you are a part of the fellowship. This is what you get, this kind of support, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm delighted that my husband is with me today. There was a time a year or so ago where we didn't really know whether we would be able to be here together. My husband was very, very ill, and as things broke, we had an opportunity through some very dear friends to make the trip with them, and it's been wonderful, and I'm so happy that Mac is here with me. Our topic of our meeting today is service, expanding our recovery. You know, this year in February, I celebrated 30 years in Al-Anon, and thank you very much. I have done it just like you are in the process of doing it, a day at a time, a meeting at a time. And in the beginning, I had big ideas about what this whole deal was going to be about. I wasn't planning on staying. I wanted to pride myself in being a quick study, learn what I needed to learn here, and then I would move on and take care of what I needed to take care of. It was not my intention to stay here, and I know today that all the things that happened in my early life were part and parcel of earning my way into Al-Anon. I just don't believe that, you know, one day you get up and you realize the total devastating effect that the disease of alcoholism coupled with your own living problems have had on you. And all the things that I did, I don't come from an alcoholic family, but I come from a family, and I heard it shared in a meeting earlier this morning, I come from a family that is highly neurotic. And that lends itself to emotional instability. And I know that that exists in my family. I know it has for a long time. And I certainly own up to my share, my actions and attitudes that lent themselves to total emotional instability. So I wasn't planning on staying, so therefore I wasn't interested in a sponsor. I wasn't interested in service. I wasn't interested in how this fellowship worked or the fact that it was worldwide. That I wasn't interested in finding out that we were up against a disease over which we had no control, over which once the alcoholic ingests alcohol or a drug of any type, that they have no power, they must ingest or drink until they are done. I knew none of those things. And I can remember in meetings talking about people being called on that were serving at the group level, our treasurer, our literature people, and all. And I thought, you know, why would you get a job here? A job locks you in. I mean, I had a very, very arrogant early attitude. And, you know, you keep yourself unique and different and desperate, and you keep yourself out of the involvement. And so I was so clueless about what was really going to happen here. Eventually, I surrendered to the fact that a sponsor might be a good idea. I really didn't look at it as a sponsor helping me. I looked at the sponsor friendship as somebody that I could use, somebody that would look out for me, take care of me, and that if I needed anything, that I could go to them. I wouldn't have to sit in a meeting and pick out who I was going to make the move on. If I had the special person, then I could make the move on them. If I needed money, if I needed, you know, to get away, whatever I needed. I mean, obviously in the beginning, it was all about me. I had been most concerned about myself all of my life. But I found myself in a meeting, and I surrendered that night through a series of events to ask this woman to be my sponsor. And she immediately started talking about going to meetings and being of service in my meeting. So obviously my first experience with service was at the meeting level. And I smoked when I was new, and so we were allowed to smoke in meetings back then. And so my very first service job in Al-Anon was wiping ashtrays. And I really felt back then strongly that that was beneath my station. However, I wanted people to like me, that my defect of character called people pleasing was huge, and I wanted you to think that I was cooperative and that I could count on you, that you would like me. So I wiped ashtrays for you, not necessarily for me. Missed the real benefit of the whole deal. This morning in a meeting, we were talking about troubled minds, cluttered minds. And I, as I was sitting there listening to people share, I was thinking cluttered minds equals insanity, obviously. But what does service really equal? Service equals opportunity. Opportunity to become a part of something from which you feel no part of when you are married to and or in a family where the disease of alcoholism and or drug addiction exists. So I wiped ashtrays for a while. Then they promoted me to literature. I was a literature person. I've moved through all the service commitments and meetings. I was a treasurer one time, and I lived in an apartment house. And I'm not proud of this, but I'm personally free to share it with you, because it was not only on the front side was I still a thief, but on the back side it opened the door to making amends to the meeting and all those that attended the meeting. And since I was treasurer, I had the little treasurer, zipper deal. And so I'd go home, and if I didn't have quarters for my washing machine in the apartment house, I would pilfer out of the treasury and run down with well-intentioned thought that I was going to pay that back, which eventually, of course, it got away from me, and I started feeling terribly guilty as I was moving through the service commitment. So I thought that I could trust my sponsor to keep it to herself, and so I mentioned it to her, whereupon she said, "How much have you taken?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And she said, "Well, you approximate," and I did. And she says, "And then you pay it to me, and now you go to the meeting and you make amends, not only for what you did, but you make the amends to all because you have taken their donation money." So, I mean, that was quite a horrific living problem that still existed when I was brand new in Al-Anon as I was moving through early group service. I can remember that there's a woman in the room that took me to my first intergroup meeting. I wasn't really excited about going to intergroup in California, but Denise was involved in intergroup, and she volunteered to take me down there. And I can't say that I was really excited about that, but I do represent meetings in my area today, and I am involved in intergroup. So it took me a while to grow up and grow into service responsibilities, to see the real opportunity that existed there. Meanwhile, I was going to meetings. Now, the huge awareness that I had regarding service on a personal level for me is that when I came in, I had a list of complaints about things that I was not getting, that were happening to me because of the disease of alcoholism and my own living problems. And that was, I had a complaint, well, no one ever listens to me. I'm not listened to. I have strong opinions and I have good ideas, and nobody in my family will listen to me. And my higher power brought me to Al-Anon, to service commitments where people asked me about things, where I was invited into conversations. God's ways are mysterious, how that all works. I wanted things tidied up so that the people that I wanted to listen would be in a position to hear me. Instead, my higher power, through the service and the fellowship, offered me a new way, new people to listen to me and engage with. I wanted to feel part of something. I wanted to be part of something. I came in no self-worth, no very, very low self-esteem, covered by a lot of defiance, a defiant behavior and attitude problems. I was not easy to get along with. And through service, all of a sudden, I found myself belonging to a huge group of people that were moving along in committed service commitments like I was doing. So now I'm part of something, and now people are listening to me. And I wanted somewhere where I fit, where I felt people understood me and what I was all about. I wanted people to have patience with me. I wanted to feel loved. And the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon has all that waiting for a person like me. And it was astounding that that way should work, because I was one that verbally said in the beginning, you know, this is my problem. And then they would say, you know, well, why don't you take a commitment in your meeting? And I would say, but what does that have to do with anything? You know, you're talking about that. I'm talking about this. I mean, I was very slow to come around that they were answering my questions. They were inviting me in so that I would no longer have to struggle with trying to figure it out and trying to correct things so that I could get my way met. They were introducing all these ways of me feeling part of and making friends and having some place to go and experience feelings of mutual behavior. I say to you, you listen. You say to me, I listen. I was now put in touch with people who were people of their word. You know, I was now surrounded by people that said, we'll meet you at the meeting tonight. And that night, those people would be there. And I was coming from a family that it was full of disappointments, broken dreams, broken promises. And here you were saying, I will meet you. And I walked in and you were there. You know, this is the wonderful world of Al-Anon service, and it works, and it works in everyone's recovery. We must keep our minds and hearts open to service, and certainly if you are sponsored, and this is where good orderly direction from your sponsor comes in, and also the developing of a lot of good service lineage. Because certainly my sponsor being here this weekend, being in the room as I speak, is deeply involved in service to the fellowship in California and worldwide. And when I chose her, because it became necessary for me to leave my first sponsor, and I was smart enough after a short period of time to realize that I must not remain unsponsored for very long. And the pickings out there for me at that time in my recovery were slim. And they were slim because I now knew what I wanted. I wanted someone that was committed to service in Al-Anon. I wanted someone that was taking their program home, that knew enough about the disease of alcoholism and the alcoholic to practice her program strongly every day with her husband, members of her family. I wanted somebody that went to meetings, that was committed to meetings. These things were very, very important to me, and her service work was very attractive, because before I came here, I didn't ever settle for anything except a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and a lot of insanity, actually. But that was energizing and kept me, it was my fuel. It kept me going. And in recovery, I want the same thing. I don't stay around where something's not going on, where I'm energized and excited about what's going on with me, with you, with us both, for very long. So my program needs to be deeply involved in service and activity. Coming up, I have a huge commitment for our Al-Anon Family Groups Convention in California, in Burbank, next spring. And the past chairman, the woman that I was co-chairman to, is in the room today. This is the kind of history and lineage that is very important to me. When I walk out of this room and walk across the lobby of the hotel, there will be people that have known me for a long, long time. Very important to me. Very important that, not that they recognize me, but that they are the living, breathing evidence that I've kept a commitment to myself, introduced to me through a loving God that said, you may not think that you have anything to give, that you can't see your purpose in life, but as a loving higher power, I see your purpose. And I have spiritual work for you to do, and it's going to begin by coming to meetings in a worldwide fellowship called Al-Anon. So obviously, service is exceedingly important to me and to all that I go to meetings with in my area. I'm very excited about where I go to meetings. I'm grateful for those that broke the way before me, and I'm doing my best to bring the people along behind me, letting them know that that there's a different temperature to the water in our meetings as we move around the world. However, it's always the same. It's always the same. And you need to feel that where you go to meetings is the very best place in the world, that you're excited about being there, that your participation is given with no constraints, that you are fully involved in your meetings, doing your part to keep the energy and excitement and the gratitude for what is really going on there high and attractive for those that come in after us. So I believe that was probably will be the end of my little speak here, and I know that we're going to open it up now for sharing from the floor, and I thank you very much for paying nice attention. Thanks. You're welcome. And I will give you back the microphone.
Thank you, Kay. That was really inspiring. When I walked into the room, as Kay said, we had this little discussion about who is going to moderate and who is going to speak, and I just had this feeling that she was the right person. You know, I'm always right. I've always known that I'm always right, and this time it proved to be true. So anyway, I'll open the meeting up to anyone who'd like to share their experience on service and how it has. Okay. Expanded their recovery. So please don't be shy. Come on up here and just let us know how much service means to you. No, come on. Yeah, come on. You want to stand here? And if you feel better standing or sitting, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like to stand, too.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Keith. I'm from New Jersey.
Hi, Keith. Hi, Keith.
And he's Bill Tate.
Yeah. Come on, sit down.
Hi, I'm Keith. I'm from New Jersey. And now I'm on tape. I got involved in service pretty early in my Al-Anon life. I went to a pretty big meeting for my area, and I was about a year, I guess. And a lady said, "Who wants to be the information service rep?" And I didn't know what it was. I just said, "Well, I'll help. Whatever." So she said, "Well, come with me to this meeting I got to go to. I don't like to go by myself. Not like to drive." So I said, "Okay, I'll drive." So I went to the meeting, and on the way up, she said, don't volunteer for anything because they'll try to just pull you in. So I went to an ISR meeting, and while they were looking for people to take, you know, positions on the steering committee for the local literature depot and stuff like that, I was looking at the floor and at the ceiling, and you know, and people were stepping up, and so I said that on the way home, I'm thinking that ain't the way to do it, you know. But I didn't have a whole lot of time and program, so I just kind of took like little baby steps and stuff. So I was an information service rep for like three meetings. In New Jersey, they meet quarterly, so I went to like three of them, and I was at a meeting, and this kindly old lady touched me on the arm and said, would you take the minutes tonight? We don't have somebody to take the minutes. I could take minutes. You know, I'm good at taking minutes. The next thing you know, I was a secretary. I took the minutes for the next 2 years worth of ISR meetings and steering committee meetings. We had a little workshop, and it was at a local high school, and they rented the cafeteria for like a luncheon, and then some of the classrooms for meetings, and it had three sessions, two in the morning and one in the afternoon, and it was like nine rooms with each session. And so one of the guys on the steering committee was the chairperson, and I said, you know, can I help you? You know, I'm like a helper, you know. So so I helped him 1 year, and then the next year he said, hey, why don't you chair? Oh, no, no, you know, I can't do that. And the words he said to me were, you're way ahead of the curve. And I didn't know what that meant, you know. But what I found out was that people step up. You know, people in program will help. You know, nobody wants to be nailed into a commitment, you know, a job, like Kay was saying. But they come out of the woodwork. And so here I was doing this workshop and had no real experience. I think I helped them fold the chairs and stack the tables the year before that. That was my experience. And people stepped up. Every meeting that had to get filled with a monitor and a speaker got filled. People took positions on with the luncheon thing, and it was just the higher power at work. It just got done, and I don't consider myself to be all that charismatic that I brought all these people in, because I don't think I did. Especially, I'm from a part of New Jersey that's kind of rural, and our meetings are kind of spread out, and they're not really all that big, except for this Thursday night meeting, which I chose to call my home group. But people come up. One of the reasons why I came to this meeting today was because I'm noticing that people in my area don't seem to be stepping up so much anymore. That I'm on the steering committee still, and we have a lot of open positions. We have, I talked about Alateen at the last meeting I went to, and there's always a need for Alateen sponsors. And I thought maybe I would hear something here today that I could use, some experience that I could use to take back to some of these groups that I go to, and show my enthusiasm for service, and get other people to want to be enthusiastic also. We all lead busy lives. We all have things going on. We all came to Al-Anon program for our own recovery, and we hold on to that recovery and that serenity real tight, and to let it go and to open up our minds and hearts to doing service work is a real leap. And But I read somewhere, or I heard somewhere, that fear is a lack of faith, and that if I really turned it over to my higher power, that my fear would subside, and that the confidence would grow, and people would step up, and so that's good, and it's worked out fine. One of the other things that has happened to me is, I've come to the point in my recovery where I see when it's my turn to step down also. And that's also another big thing for me, because you know, that whole ego thing and that whole control thing, for me to you know, I'm the man, you know, I'm the chairman, you know. One of the people that stood in for our secretary at a local district meeting wrote that I was the president of the district. I was like, no, I'm not the president. But so it was time for me to step down, to get out of the way. The way it happened for me was someone asked me to do something. When it was an open calling to a big room full of people, you know, I didn't stand up. I didn't say, yeah, I'll do it. Take me. And I think it's that personal touch, that reach out, that touch somebody on the arm and say, will you help me with this? And every time I did, someone said yes. So, thanks for letting me share about service. I'm really service oriented, and I love this program. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Keith, from New Jersey. Who's next? Yeah, lady. Oh, come on. Thank you, Alan.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ellen, and I'm from El Toro, California. Betty Ann says we have to say the town. It's not just the state, Mr. New Jersey. But I wanted to come up here and share on service for a couple of different reasons. One, because my buddy Kay was leading and talking at this meeting, and to me, she is the epitome of service in this program, and I just love her so much. I loved working with her so much last year on AFG, and I'm looking forward to working with her again this year. I've learned so much. I was thinking to myself when I took on the commitment of being the chairman of that convention. I've been around the program, you know, 22 years, and you know, I this should be no problem at all, and. I had a few, and Kay was, you know, right with me the whole time, and she's just, you know, a very loving, kind example of what this program is. But I learned early on when I first started coming around that, you know, that the, where they always say stick with the winners and win with the stickers, and those are the people who do service. They get up and volunteer to be the secretary. I was a treasurer once, and I didn't use quarters for the washing machine, but I couldn't keep track of the money I had. So I don't know if I did use it or didn't use it or whatever. I just, whenever they're looking for treasures, I'm going, you know, it's not that I don't want to do service, but you don't want me to do that one. Because I, you know, I just kind of throw the money in a pile and, you know, bring back whatever I, you know, whatever. I only did it once. But anyway, so yeah, so never ask me to be treasurer. But I learned early on just on the group level, and it's really kind of funny now. I go to this one meeting on Tuesday nights, and there were newer people. I think they're going on like 4 years. They still think they're newcomers, and it comes up every 6 months to do the jobs, and they, you know, they all sit there looking at the floor, like you said, Mr. New Jersey, and I'm like the big advocate of service. I'm like, you know, service is more than a dollar in the basket, and you know, you better get up here and volunteer. And if that doesn't work, I tell them I'm not carrying you dead ass for the next 6 months, so volunteer. You know. So I do whatever it takes to make them volunteer. And so finally they tell me now they volunteer just so they don't have to listen to me. They don't want to look at me. They don't want to listen to me. They just volunteer. But it's funny how when you do, I went to our convention a few years ago with a girl I know that was only in the program a couple of years, and I was seeing all these people that I knew from outside our area, and they're, hey, Ellen, how you doing? Hey, Ellen. And she's going, God, you know so many people. And I said, well, you know, if you go out of that one meeting a week you go to that's in your own area where you see other people, that it's like the world is not flat. And neither is Al-Anon. There is life outside of the one room or maybe two rooms that you go to that are within blocks of each other. You'll meet people, too. And I started introducing her to some of the people I know, and she started doing service. We went back the next year, and they're all going, hey, Cynthia, how are you? And I'm going, you know so many people. But that's what it's brought for, you know, for me, is to be able to meet people and know people. And then I meet their friends. And I've had the occasion to go out of state a couple times. times or even out of the country and speak or whatever. And I go up there and I know people. When I was in Vancouver, a couple years ago, and I knew people that lived up there. And it's so reassuring that anywhere you go. And I wasn't sure because there wasn't anybody in our area that came to the international here. Or so I thought. I was in the elevator 10 minutes after we got here, and there's a guy there for my Tuesday night meeting. I was like, hey, Lee! And Pat's going, my husband's going, you found somebody before I did. So we're like counting. We're counting. But anyway, I know that the people that I hang with feel the same way about service. And one of the things that I think is really funny is we live in this world of program or program people and how they think. My daughter got married a few years ago, and we decided to save our money and do a whole bunch of it ourselves because me and my sisters and my nieces, we could bang this thing out in no time, set these tables and do the whole thing. Well, I'm thinking I'm dealing with, just like we're doing a luncheon and putting out the decorations for the luncheon or something. We show up at this, we rented this really nice community center right on the beach. It's beautiful, gorgeous view, and I show up with like five people to get this stuff done, and they spent 2 hours decorating the canopy thing that she was getting married under, and I'm flinging plates of beer, and I'm like, somebody get up here and help me, and what the hell was I thinking? The caterer wanted $100 to do this, and I wanted to save the money, and I was thinking to myself, this is not, how we do stuff in Al-Anon. We would all get up there and do it, and I'm going, leave the damn canopy alone and get up here in a minute, and I ended up, me and my other sister set the whole thing, and I got done, and I said, I will mortgage my house the next time this ever happens. I will never do this again. Not with all my Al-Anon buddies there. But anyway, I don't want to take up too much time so we can hear from some more of you guys. But I do believe that service is pretty much the center of the program. I think that's where you meet people. That's where you learn a lot of your values. Oh, that's really where you learn principles about personalities. Don't get in your own way. Let go and let God. Every slogan that there is in the program all pertains to doing service. I one more thing I remember seeing this AA speaker, Steve B., and he talks about if you really think you got it knocked in the program, just try doing service at, he talks about Founders Day, and tell the old guys that maybe we should move the picnic table from there over to there and to watch them all wig out because nobody likes change and that's not the way we do it here and buddy and all this other kind of stuff. So I've learned a lot about myself and others and how this program works and service. So do yourself a favor and step it up. Thanks.
Can you understand why she knows so many people? Come on up.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name's Sandy. I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. I live in Claremont, California, and a lot of nice, familiar faces here today. People I love a lot, and new faces too, which is really, really fun. It's really fun. Glad to be here. Service is an awesome topic. My sponsor, you just got to hear Kay speak, and she was one of my service, examples, and that was very attractive to me. In the meetings where I go, they said that, they, in quotes, the word is that if you want what I have, you will come do what I do. And then they said, hang out with the winners. Now, I've been president of every organization I've ever belonged to in my entire life. And so I came in with sort of like a different attitude about service. Because I figured, I liked what they said, but then I figured, okay, now I'm in here and I'm sitting on the wall and I'm by myself and I've got my arms wrapped around myself real tight so nobody gets close to me, but then I'm thinking, who's the president and how do I get to be the president? How do you work your way up to that job? Because I was willing to do that. And I told myself, you know what, you've done that your whole life, just sit down in the meeting and listen, just listen. But the point was that what I found out was the people in service were those who were working the program, those who were having fun, and God knows I want to have fun in what I'm doing. And so that was really, really neat. The example set by those, like Kay was talking about lineage, and through the family relationships that we have through sponsor families, that you know, that example is a critical example. It really is. We had in our family a really devastating loss 3.5 years ago. Our grandson passed away, and he was a really viable member of Alateen. He was in the little preteen group. He was almost 8 years old, and he was in the preteen group. And you know, if any of you are Alateen sponsors, one day, a little story, he was going to go visit his dad on that visitation day, and he says, you know, I've got a terrible attitude. I need a meeting. And there's this little 7-year-old, and he says, I'm going to ask my dad if instead of taking me tonight, he'll take me to my meeting, my kid meeting. And so he did that, and unfortunately his dad didn't take him to his kid meeting, but we got to share with his sponsors, you know, if you think what you're doing isn't touching some little kid in some amazing way, then listen to this. You know, this is what happened, and this was it. So he didn't get to go to his kid meeting that night, but it reminded me of what's really important. And we lost our grandson to cancer 3.5 years ago when he was 8.5, and there came a time in my awarenesses where it's like I either throw in the towel because the emotions were just too amazingly horrible to deal with. It felt like that, you know, I was not going to survive. I can throw in the towel and give up, or I can do something to make me alive again after going through that experience. And it occurred to me that it's time to be of service again, because I'd actually taken on the role of the grand service master for a while. I was overcommitted. I wasn't doing anything well. I was doing everything but nothing well. And I just really realized I need to let go of all of these service commitments for a time. And I did that for quite a while. I wasn't doing much of anything. However, with Devin so sick, I looked at him and he was trying so hard to live that I thought, how do you live? You live by being in contact with people and giving back to people. If I've received anything at all in this program, then it's my job to give it away if I can. And so a whole new road of service opened up, and I've been involved in our district, and I'll just say it out loud. I'm getting a message from my higher power, I think, to stand for delegate when the election happens in November, and something I really want to do, I think. And you know, if I'm supposed to, I've got like a little prayer committee going on who are going to, you know, pray for God's will if it's the right thing, if I can physically handle it, and all that criteria. Not about ego, not wanting to be the chairman, not wanting to be the president of Al-Anon, but you know, what a nice thing, and to learn more about our program that's just given me a whole life. And you know, for that I'm really, really, really excited. The jobs that I want to do are the fun jobs. Convention chairman has been one. I'm the incoming chairman next year, 2006, for the Southern California Convention, AA convention with Al-Anon participation. And you know, that's the fun. That's throw the party and make it all pretty and make people love to be there because they're surrounded by wonderful things, and you know, recovery is so attractive. And that's just so nice. You know, that's my favorite kind of service. But I'm to the place now, I think, after the years I've been in Al-Anon, that I've been given a lot of opportunities to learn. And the other thing about service is that my character defects come out and dance all over me when I'm in service. And so, you know, I anytime I'm in any position of, say, a chairman of anything, I pray the seven-step prayer all the time, that, you know, I do not let me do anything in the world that interferes with somebody else's success and their experience in this commitment. But I think that it's really neat. So I know that my higher power has given me some skills maybe and some experiences that I can take somewhere else, and I'm really just right now asking where that's supposed to be. So, you know, anyone who isn't of service, you don't know what you're missing. And those of you who are, you know how great it is and what you've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, great. Hi. Hi, Joyce.
We got time?
Yeah, we sure do. We got all the time in the world.
Oh, we do?
Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
I'm from Franklin, Tennessee, which is right outside Nashville, for those of you who don't know. Are there any other Southerners here? You were just there. Georgetown? Georgetown.
Bowling Green.
There we go. That's Kentucky, but that's spitting distance from us. I have a bit of a different entrance into service work. I came into Al-Anon 22 years ago as well, and I stayed there for a while, and I thought until the alcoholic in my life, who is my husband, was going to find sobriety, maybe, maybe, never, never, but did, thank God. And then when he got sober, then we could go about our lives like normal people, or what I thought was normal. But what happened was, and in the meantime, I didn't need a sponsor, I thought. I don't need to do that stuff. And the longer I stayed around, the more comfortable I felt. At the time, I was relatively new in the program. Our district was going into kind of a slumpy place. There had been a lot of individuals who, my perception was, were not able to put principles above personalities. And there had been a big blow up, and they kind of agreed to get mad and go away. And so the district suffered, as did, needless to say, the area. And in Tennessee, it is one area. We're not split into two, as are some of the other areas. Anyway, I finally got a sponsor, but she was doing just, service work within the group. And because of her own little stuff, she wasn't doing any service work outside. So I didn't feel that encouragement to do something. So I just kind of coasted along. And then suddenly, sobriety came to my husband one more time, and it seemed to be this time that was going to stick. And he got a new sponsor, and his sponsor said, and my husband's got the shirt on today, get in the car. And so he got in the car, and he had a service sponsor that drug him, a sponsor and service sponsor. Whoops. Hello. There we go. That was very entrenched in service and drug him everywhere. And so, as you know what I'm going to say, I was home by myself again. And I thought, well, shoot, if he's never going to be home, then why don't I just do something? Only to find that there was just this horrible base of nothingness in our district. So, like Keith, somebody said, why don't you be secretary? We need a secretary. And I'm talking just a few people at this meeting, folks. There was hardly anybody there. And I decided that maybe I could do that. I would do that for them until we could get somebody else. But you know how that goes. There's never anybody else that's going to do it, so you end up doing it for the entire time. So, what I know is that this is the way I say it. My higher power was doing for me that which I had not been willing to do, which was to be of service outside my group. And from that time on, for me, it has been the neatest journey. I've only had to be just willing. And I took to heart the things that you all said, which were and which are, don't say no. When somebody asks you to do it, be willing to do it. So with that, I have done a lot of different things. I, too, have been area chairman 3 years ago. In Tennessee, the convention. I've been willing to do just about anything they ask me to do. And you're right. Whoever said, talk about friends. You do have friends. You have friends everywhere. And now I have lots of AA friends everywhere because my husband, too, is doing lots of service work. So though we don't try to be Mr. and Mrs. AA and Al-Anon because we know we're not, don't want to be, we've both just been willing to do that which we have been ever asked to do. It doesn't take very long to tear something down. That can be done in a heartbeat, but it takes so long to build it back up. And that's that's where we are in our area right now. I feel a momentum. I feel a sense of excitement. People saying, I'm looking forward to coming to assembly instead of, oh, God, I got to go to another assembly. I hate hearing that. So we're trying. My role right now is alternate delegate. Like you, I'm also wondering what my higher power has in store for me, because I know not what that is. And when I'm asked, I simply say, I don't know yet. I trust that he will let me know when the time comes, and for us, it comes this fall. But all I can say is that I've been willing. And one of the things that has, I think, been the turnaround, and it's not just been me, but, you know, we talk about let it begin with me. We would sit in meetings and say, we need a District 12B district rep. Do we have any volunteers? And you know what we got? Stone cold silence. And I'd sit there and observe this, and over again, this was asked. Nobody. And I thought, you know me, the Al-Anon control thing in me, not so healthy yet, said, we've got to do something about this. So having been in personnel work for some years, I thought, well, you know, I know it's hard to say no if I'm asked to do something. Maybe that'll work with other people. So I started just kind of tapping people on the shoulder. I try to remind them that that might be God nudging them to do something. And what I find is that more times than not, people will do things if they're asked, because they too hear the things that we say. And I've heard so many good things this afternoon, but all I know is that I can only do what I can do. But what I can do is be enthusiastic, encouraging, require my sponsees to do service work. I don't give them a choice. If they want me to sponsor them, that's a part of it. It's just a part of it. And I make sure they understand that's a part of their recovery. They're part of their recovery. It's a big piece of their recovery. It has been for me, and that's my experience, strength, and hope. So I've gotten a lot of chances to go other places and to meet other people. I have no clue where my higher power will lead me as far as my service work. All I have to do is show up and be willing to do it. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Patricia, and I'm from the TGIF Friday Night Woodland Hills, California group. And there are a lot of us here. My sponsor's license plate used to say, get in the car. So, you know, she was definitely for service. And I came into this program knowing no one. But I came from a huge family. My mother was one of 11 children. There were 36 grandchildren. There were 47 great-grandchildren. And I think now there's 11 great-great-grandchildren in that family. So I was used to having a lot of people around me. And when I got my sponsor, it was, we're going here. We're going here. You're doing this. Just, so it was like, suit up, shut up, and show up. And because of that, I now have a new family of many, many people. Our Friday night meeting, there's usually somewhere between 75 and 125 people at that meeting every week. But I don't get to sit downstairs because I'm upstairs with the young Alateens. And this is a total challenge for me, and it is a real service commitment of love. And every week I say at the beginning of the meeting, I can't do this another week. And at the end of the meeting, I say, thank you, God, for teaching me another lesson. Because those children so need this program. Their lives are so affected, and they're just, and it's the hardest age. I have worked with the preteens, and I have worked with the Al-Anons. And this young Al-Anon group, they're 9 to 13, and mainly I have little boys who, and I have the mother of two sons who are now men and grown. So I've been there, but I think when they were mine, I could say, stop that, or don't do that. And I don't have the ability to do that. I have to try and guide these children. And every week, I learn a new lesson from them. And I have a great story that I shared at our anniversary meeting. I was upstairs with the kids, and we were called down so that one of our young Alateens could share, and then Betty Ann asked me to share. And for a week and a half before, they were getting antsy, so I was trying to get puzzles and stuff for them to work on. So I sat at my computer and I made this great puzzle with all the, you know, the slogans and, you know, 12 steps and let go and let God, and I arranged it diagonally and across, and it took me like 3 hours to do this. And then I had to go back in and make sure when I just was throwing letters in that I didn't spell any bad words. So I walk in the night of the anniversary, and I go, fun thing, I got a puzzle for you to do. And one of the kids says to me, oh, did you do that on puzzle.com? Was that not, keep coming back, Patricia, you have a lot to learn. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Patty, and I'm really grateful to be here today. And, you know, service, I think when I first started Al-Anon, it was an ego thing for me. I was going to this meeting, and the goodies person, it was really boring. You know, they brought coffee and cookies each week, and I kept coming every week going, God, you know, I can do so much better. If I were the goodie person, I would have this and this and... And, you know, strawberries were in season, and I'm thinking, oh, I can make this great arrangement of strawberries and fruit and everything. And, you know, and every week they had cookies and coffee. So, you know, that was my first, you know, so that when it came time for elections the next time, I volunteered to be goody person. And, you know, and I did. I brought the strawberries. And what it did for me, it was like a whole ego thing, because then they would say, oh, how wonderful, look at this great arrangement she made and everything. But, you know, it was really good. And, you know, I was in program 4 years before I got a sponsor. And at this meeting I went to one meeting a week. And at this meeting, you know, I did all kinds of, I was a secretary. I was, you know, but I never shared. I never really worked a program. I just, you know, I kept coming back because I knew that you guys had something that I wanted. You know, I went in the meetings and you shared my story. And, you know, so that's why I kept going back to that meeting. And then when I did get my sponsor, same sponsor as Patricia, Betty Ann, and, you know, she had the license plate, you know, the get in the car thing, and I thought, holy cow, what did I get myself into? You know, because we were going everywhere and doing everything. And, you know, it was through Betty Ann and that Friday night meeting and through Sally, you know, because they always shared what a privilege it is to be of service. You know, it's a privilege to be able to do that. And you know, I got involved. I was a greeter. My first thing was a greeter. And, you know, I think I've done everything at the Friday night meeting. And, well, except for my new commitment now. I'm going to be the newcomer secretary. But, you know, what it gave me was a sense of belonging. And, you know, it kept me coming back. It keeps me coming back all the time. You know, when I'm sitting at home, I shared in the meeting this morning, I'm a huge isolator. And, you know, but with the commitment, it's like, you know, I want to sit on the couch and I want to watch TV. Well, no, I got that commitment, you know. So I go. And however I'm feeling before, you know, by the end of the meeting, I'm not feeling that way anymore. And, you know, so it's benefited me so much. And, you know, I've been in... I've had commitments above the group level. I've been group rep. I've been district rep. And the conventions. You know, Ellen was sharing about the conventions, and they're so much fun. You know, and it's true. You go and you meet all these people. And, I mean, I wouldn't know Sandy. I wouldn't know Kay if it wasn't for, you know, the convention commitments. And you go and you see them. It's like, wow, you know, you've got all these friends. And it's like, well, you're with people. You know, like Ellen was sharing. It's like, how do you know her? It's like, well, you know, because I did a commitment at the convention level. And, you know, and another thing that we do a 12-step Catalina trip every year. And, you know, and I've been on that committee ever since. You know, I what did we just do, our 15-year anniversary, and I've been going ever since the second year. And what I'm so grateful for, and when I was thinking about this, and, you know, it's also from Friday night, you know, or my other commitments, is that just the transformation, being able to be of service and seeing and being able to put it together, especially, you know, I noticed it at Catalina, the transformation of the people that come, because they get off the boat and they're all just like, oh, you know, they just came from this week of, you know, whatever's going on and at home and work, and they fight traffic to get there, and they're like, argh. And, you know, by the end of the weekend, they're just, I mean, everybody's laughing and smiling you know, and it's the neatest feeling to be able to be a part of that and to put it on. And, you know, and I know that's ego too, but it's a good kind. And, you know, being able to be a service and to help people has really, really helped me. And thanks, Lanisha.
California.
Yes. I'm Linda from Harbor City, California.
Hi, Linda.
And setting up the games and all that sort of stuff. And I started at my meeting being secretary. I'm not very good at money either, so I don't want to do that, because I did it once for another meeting and I was like, borrowing. How much was it? And I can't remember, so I don't even take that. Even if nobody raises their hand, I said, you don't want me. I've been literature, and then I became an intergroup rep. And for our area, it's only 6 times a year, but it's in a really, really hard area to get to, and it takes you sometimes 2 hours. And so I finally found somebody to go with me, and I went. And it was really hard to get into it. You know, it was just personalities and these things they were talking about, going, well, I can't follow, you know, I'm writing down what they said 2 sentences ago, you know, I'm following it. But, you know, I did the reports, and that was okay. Then I was secretary of a different meeting, another meeting, and we had to do a group inventory, and that was really, really hard, because it was, you know, there's different ways to run it and pushing the people, okay, you guys wanted this, let's get it on. And we finally got out the reason that we had the meeting. We finally got to talk about it. So it was really a stressful situation, but I made it, you know, I did it. And now when I go to conventions, I see people from all over, or I see different people, and they're going, hi. You know, I'm always glad they have badges, because I've got a terrible memory for names, so I'm going, hi, how are you, you know, kind of, so hopefully they don't notice that I'm looking at their name, you know. And what else is really fun is that I've been to meetings in Australia, and I even went in Vienna. And I went to a meeting in Vienna, a German meeting and an English meeting. And I came back to my group and told them all about it. And in the English meeting, I just happened to meet somebody who was like, that lived about 15 minutes away from where I used to live in California, that was living in Vienna. Then I go to another meeting, and I'm a group rep. And I'd never done group rep, and I'd heard it, you know, it's a 3-year commitment. I'm going, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? You know, I'm not one of these people that gets up there and talks, because I sound like blah, blah, you know. I don't sound as good as everybody else when they're talking. So I go to the Southern California World Service Conference. My first meeting was in August, when they're going to discuss the Alateen issue. Talk about principles before personalities. First you get up there, and you know, they're introducing the motion, and they're taking roll, and they have a vote as to whether they want to have a voice vote, whether they want to have a secret ballot, whether they want to have a stand up. Okay, so we get that done, and then we do the paper vote. And it's not enough people. The numbers don't add up, you know, so you have to do it again. And they tabled this for the next meeting, which was not until 6 months later before they had to get it. This was in August. We had to our next meeting was in November. We had to have a decision by December and be registered. And then people were coming up to the microphone, and they were starting to talk, and they were in their middle of the talk, and somebody else would raise their hand and saying, well, you haven't addressed the other order that was already on the table. And, oh, my goodness, you know, this is really something else. And I went, okay. And we were all voting, and we voted on one part, and we tabled the other part, and we came back in November and got it passed, you know. But some people were happy, some people were not happy, and, you know, politics is politics. It's, or if you're going to get into an organization, you're going to have rules. And a lot of times we don't like to follow rules because we know the best way to do it, you know. And when you've got 100 or 200 or 300 people all thinking they know the best way to run it or do it, it gets to be a little bit confusing. And I do like serving at service, and I do like it at the group level outside of the group, and I do go to a lot of meetings, and it's helping me, and I'm really happy to be here. Thanks.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, come on up. Are you from California, too?
No, Arizona.
But I used to be from California.
Hi, I'm Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Grateful member of this Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Alateen. Let me just breathe in my higher power because I have no idea what I'm going to share. Service. Enhancing or expanding my recovery. I don't know. I had some thoughts back there, but I don't know what they are now. All I know... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Betty Ann. I am from Tucson, Arizona. My home group is the Northwest Early Risers that meets at 8:30 Saturday morning, and we're a book study. And we have lots of service positions, including a greeter, which is something California does a lot of, I know, but in Arizona it's rare. And we don't have a goodie bringer or whatever, a goodie person. I wish we could have those positions. And we, too, I've heard some sharing about, you know, having trouble finding enough people to be of service. And so that takes me back to what I call my five S's, and that's, you know, I got here and I learned the Serenity Prayer. And then I heard some slogans. And then I heard that I needed to get a sponsor and work the steps with that sponsor. And then I needed to be of service, you know, and sponsor others. And to me, that's the biggest service that we could do for this program, is to sponsor others and to show them by example what it is to be of service. Because I had those positions of cleaning up, and I think I had the cookie position once in Southern California, and literature, and, you know, have the key to open the door. Talk about having a powerful position. That was, you know, if you didn't show up, the meeting would have had to be held in the parking lot or something. So service has been little baby steps of service. Saved my sanity, and it also probably saved the alcoholic in my life's his life, frankly, because if I would have stayed home one more night, who knows what would have happened, because I was a raging Al-Anon, too. And so being of service got me out of the house. I remember running to a meeting and knowing that they were having elections, but also knowing that I couldn't leave my children, who were small, at home with the alcoholic who was drinking that night. So I went and said, I know you're having elections. I know you need a GR. I'm volunteering, but I can't stay. So I came back the next week to find out that I had been elected the GR. And I heard an interesting thing this morning. There is a new position called GR. It's called garbage rep. So I love it, because that's, you know, what I can aspire to be someday, is the GR for my home group. But I love being a greeter for my home group. Anyways, I was the GR, and that got me into service, and that got me to places where I saw people like Betty Ann and Kay at an intergroup or assembly for Southern. I went to the Southern California World Service Committee meeting and saw lots of people that were getting hugs and knew, you know, they knew everybody, you know, Hester and all those folks that go to Southern California's assemblies. And it was just, I saw the people up on the front and said, you know, wanted to know how they got where they got. And I had a friend that was a get in the car type person, and she used to ask me what I was doing on Tuesday night, and if I'd say nothing, which was my, you know, it took me a while to learn that I wasn't supposed to say nothing. But every time I said nothing, she says, good, because you can come with me and we're going to go here. And, you know, we went to battered women's shelters and we went to psychiatric wards. And then in the car, she'd say, oh, and you can share for about 10 minutes tonight. And she wouldn't tell me till we got in the car. After a while, I finally figured it out. And when she asked, and I'd say, okay, where we're going and what do I have to do? But those are the things that got me into my recovery, to look at me, to be able to share, you know, even if I said, I don't have nothing to share. Well, you've been here for 6 months. You have something more to share than the newcomer. Okay. Then it was, well, you've been here for a year. You've got something more to share than the new, you know. You look how much, and I had my first sponsor used to say, look at the story you're writing, you know. Look at the story you're writing. And so for me, again, sponsorship, it comes back to that, you know, the second biggest commitment I took was being an Alateen sponsor. And for those who do that Alateen work, I'm forever grateful, because we are the parents. And I have two boys that I attempted to force into Alateen, and they went for a while and did not stay, because their father was not he was not in recovery at the time. But they got the taste of it, and I got to be a sponsor to those kids, to those other kids, not my kids, but other people's kids. And that's one of the biggest commitments that you can make, is to be an Alateen sponsor, because we are responsible for our children. And I love going to Southern California Alateen Conference, SCAC. I went there in 1989 when my sponsor, I was supposed to go with my sponsor. She broke her leg 3 days before and sent me by myself. I was scared to death, but I went and I had a blast. And then when I moved to Arizona, AZAC is there, Arizona's Alateen Conference. And I finally, after all my schedule conflicts, I finally was able to go to there. And so now I'm bringing new people coming into AZAC, so I'll go with you, you know, don't have to go by yourself. And now from taking some of the kids up in the van last year, we had some kids from California, both Southern California and Northern California, come to AZAC, and they were sharing about SCAC and NOCAC, and everybody was inviting everybody to go, you know. And so one of those teens called me on the phone and said, I've got, are you still interested in going to SCAC? I've got a registration form, because, you know, they followed through on their actions. And so now I'm going to be driving two of the Arizona teens to SCAC in a couple weeks, I think. So it's just an awesome experience. And for me, the best thing I can do is pass it on. Be an example, share what I've learned, what people that have graciously gone before me have been there for me. You know, I've learned from the first meeting I walked into, Betty Ann was there and sharing her ice cube story about throwing, you know, ice cubes against the block wall, no mess. I loved it, and I remembered it. And it's because of people just opening their mouth and sharing their experience. That's a being of service. Even when you're sharing in a meeting, sharing that, something to pass on, something that somebody can take home. You know, my sponsor says, listen for the nugget. What did you hear? She says, when did you go to your last meeting, and what was the best thing you heard? Those are the two questions I get asked on a routine basis. And then I can ask the people I sponsor those same questions. And it just, you know, if we continue sponsoring and being sponsored and work the steps and the traditions and the concepts. I was not allowed to stand for an area office until I had studied the traditions with my sponsor. That was a requirement from her. that I accepted willingly because I wanted to understand more the principles of these traditions. And I have an alphabet soup, you know, A, E, I, O, U, the vowels of the alphabet. There's anonymity, there's equality, there's integrity, there's open-mindedness, and there's unity. And you'll find all those in all the traditions. And with that, I'll just say services has helped me grow beyond where I came in. I was scared and frightened and full of fear and anger. And today I am happy, joyous, and free. And for this I am grateful because of service. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Pam, and I'm from Al-Anon in South Africa, Durban. I couldn't handle this. I couldn't handle sitting there and just hearing California and California. Well, by the way, I'm so in love with California that I'm spending 7 days there. Yes, and I'd like to thank Al-Anon for saving my life and to taking me through where I am today. And it's all because of having a good sponsor and being in service. And I remember being asked to lead a meeting or to be the leader, and I was there for about 6 months. And I said, what do I tell these people? Gosh, I've got people in my group that are 25 years and over in Al-Anon, and I am just there for 6 months and I'm asked to chair a meeting. So the first Monday I come with the suitcase and my knees just knocked and knocked the whole time. And I said, what am I doing? So it was fine. And at the end of that month, there was a combined meeting. Now, when you have that, you got to arrange a speaker. So I didn't know. So I pitched up there, and it was a guy that was about 28 years sober. It was his birthday. And I said, but you know, Auntie Margaret, I didn't get a speaker. So she says, well, my girl, if you didn't get a speaker, you've got to speak. I said, me? She says, yes. So she put me there to speak. And I go there, and I stand up, and the guy that was chairing the meeting was also about 30-odd years sober. So I stand there, and I don't know what I said, but I just said thank you. And I sat again. And I tell you, I'm ever so grateful to that group. It's called the Sydenham Group in Durban. It's recognized by everybody. Lois even visited us. And that is the group that I started my first meeting. And it's a wonderful group. We've got Helen there, and she's still our mother in our group. And I just, when you just talk about Betty Ann, I just think about Margaret, Helen, and Peggy. Those are my three people. And through service, I must tell you, started from that secretary, went into GR, Alateen, I love you. I've always been an Alateen coordinator, an Alateen sponsor, and currently I'm sponsoring Alateen again. Yes, because for me, I live out in a different area, and we don't have Alateen in that central area. And I said, no, it can't be. I'll be the sponsor. You bring your kids. So I'm back in there. And all the way through service, I've served in a lot of positions. Sort of from secretary, group rep, Alateen, delegate, alternate delegate, chairperson of the area, and now I'm their regional trustee. And I really, really have such a passion for service. And I keep saying to everybody, where did you get your serenity from? Am I the only person that got it from Al-Anon? Because please, man, serve everybody, you know, when it comes to service. But we have this to do. We all have that to do. Mm-hmm. But nobody can ever give us what we have. You know, the thing that I've got in my life, and I must tell you that it is, I've practiced this program in Al-Anon to get to where I am, as well as my other affairs. In my job, I've done it again. From the bottom, I've gone right up to the top. And it's just by working that program in a holistic way that it's taken me there. And I try very hard to, you know, breathe the enthusiasm to the new people and get them flowing. And currently in our area in KwaZulu-Natal, that's where we are, I have a fantastic chairperson. And she's also serving as our alternate trustee. And we both work exceptionally well in our area. We also battle for service members. We battle to get the districts going. You know, with the new structure in place, it still hasn't kicked off. But we're getting there. The fact remains they know this is what we're going to do. We make it interesting. We have our regional service seminars like the way you do. And we do loads and loads of workshops all the time. It's this workshop that's just getting the people in. And now we realize, no, we need to do more social. Mm-hmm. Not to say fundraiser, nothing. Just come with your family, get to a park with the kids, all ages, whatever, and do your thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where we're going to improve our numbers, because it is dwindling. And we need to find ways to pick it up and just to breathe service into everybody that we see. Thank you. It's been awesome.
Welcome to Canada. Are you coming up to speak? Come on up.
My name is Sally Carpenter, and I'm member of Al-Anon. And service was something that I didn't think I wanted to do, but the very first service commitment I ever had was Marion Lemke asked me if I would come and help put out the table decoration for the Southern California Convention when I was about, 6 months in the program. And I went down early in the morning and waited for her. And that was in the days before we spent $2,000 on them. They made them out of egg cartons. And I looked at the bottom of this one that I put out and it had AA on it. I thought, isn't that clever? I didn't know there was double A eggs. But that was my first service commitment, and it made me interested in conventions. I love conventions. This is my 7th international. Yeah. And I have served as chairman of the Southern California Convention, San Fernando Valley Convention, and I still do the powwow in the desert. And I love service because it has made me familiar with a lot of people. And I don't go anywhere that I don't see somebody that I know. And I've served as secretary, treasurer, literature person. Literature was the first commitment I had at my home meeting on Thursday night. And I had that literature out, and you didn't dare mess it up. But I served as a group rep, and I was secretary to the service board in Hawaii. And, someone said it, to make a service attractive, it has to look like fun. And my first impression of service was little gray-haired women with serious faces. And that's why I didn't want to be in service. But, I found out that it can be fun. And that's what I like to have about it. So I know that if you make it attractive, that other people will follow. Thank you.
Thanks. Look
at her. With a smile on her. Come on out. Hi, everybody. My name is Jan.
Hi, Jan.
And my home group is the Friday Night Friends group in Tempe, Arizona. Yeah. Yeah. And I was sitting here listening to all these stories, and I just had this flashback to probably the first service thing I ever did in Al-Anon. And I came into the program in Dallas, Texas, and they had my home group there had a custom of you didn't chair a meeting until you had 6 months in the program. And somebody must have been keeping track, because when I was about 6 months and 2 days into the program, they said, isn't it time that you chaired a meeting? And they had a board where you could sign up. So I signed up for this Sunday meeting that was like a week in advance or something, a week after that. And the meeting started at 8 o'clock that evening, and I was there at 7:30, and I got all the literature out and arranged the chairs and got everything just so, and it's 7:45, and I think, gee, people aren't here yet, and it's 7:50, and people aren't there. And we usually have about 20, 25 people at this meeting, and it's 7:55, and there's nobody else there. And I'm looking to think, is this Sunday? What's going on here? And I thought, well, they must be just arriving late. And it 8 o'clock, and I hear next door the AA starting with their serenity prayer, starting their meeting, and there was nobody else there. And I thought, well, maybe there was something going on this weekend that I didn't know about, you know. And so I just, you know, after when it got to be about 10 after 8, I just thought, you know, I guess this is, nobody else is coming tonight, you know, which I found very, very peculiar. And I couldn't believe this happened to me on my first time to chair a meeting that I was all prepared and had sweated over for all week. And so I thought, well, how long do I stay? I thought, well, I'll stay for a while. And then I thought, well, you know, here's all these this literature and all these books, and I don't have all these books yet, so this is a good opportunity to sit here and read. So that's what I did. And, you know, I still had hope up until about 8:20 that somebody might show up, but they didn't. And I ended up getting so engrossed in the books, I just stayed there. And then before I knew it, I heard the AAs next door, you know, saying their closing prayer. And then pretty soon I heard there was a knock on the door coming from the AA room, and this AA member stuck his head in, and he said, oh, are you guys all done? And I said, no, nobody else ever showed up. And he said, oh, and then he flung open the door, and there was a lady standing behind him. And he said, would you have time to share with this lady? She came with her husband for his first AA meeting, and we told her that there was a meeting for her, too. So I knew why I was supposed to be there that night. So that was my first experience in service, and we just never know the impact we might have. But one thing I wanted to share is something we've done in Arizona that we talked about getting people interested in service, and we're now in our second year of having what we call the June Service Day. We have two assemblies, one in April and one in October, and there's not enough time at assembly for the delegate to report, so we started this June Service Day. That we just meet on a Saturday from 10 o'clock, start at 10 in the morning. We finish at 3 in the afternoon. We have a lunch. The area provides everything so that there's no registration fee for anybody. There's no business conducted. It's just the delegate giving her report and sharing. We do skits, and it's just overall sharing. People can ask questions, and we have a lot of fun. And what I've noticed out of this is more and more people, I think, are becoming more open about asking questions. There's people sort of starting to get stirred up and excited about service. We've had a couple more volunteers to do workshops that we hadn't had before. And I think part of it, having the absence of all the motions and the business and things like that, is giving people a new perspective on what service is all about. And for me, many of my solutions in my recovery have come through being involved in service. And it's not just what happens at that service meeting. It's that lunch between, the ride to the meeting, in between. And I'm around people that are very involved in recovery, and I'm able to talk to them and find solutions for what's going on in my life, too. So I'm real, real excited and enthusiastic about service.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. I don't think anyone needed this meeting today more than I did, having just come back from overseas and trying to get back into the way of life back here in Toronto. In fact, I just said to someone eating lunch, you know, I think I'm just going to do the group thing for now. And she said, oh, no, no, there's more to it than that. I just want to share this with you, that one of the first things my husband and I did in terms of service when we first started was we did what they call a health fair, and we did it at a mall north of the city, and he manned the AA table, and I manned the Al-Anon table. We were very green at this, and people would come by, and they were very nervous about coming over, so we just, you know, kept it cool and didn't, although at first we were kind of excited about being in our programs and wanted to run over and tell them about it, but that we caught on to the fact that, you know, this is really, we must be discreet about it. And it was a great afternoon. We bought an awning for our house at the mall and all kinds of things. But, and you know what, 5 to 6, we were starting to pack up and congratulating ourselves on what a great job we'd done at this health fair. And some guy came running into the mall at the last minute. He said, "Can you tell me where the liquor store is, please?" And we just kind of looked at each other like, uh-oh, well, anyway. Maybe, you know what I thought? I thought, look, maybe he looks at us and saw the AA sign and figured we'd know where it is. Or maybe my husband looked like the worst drunk in town and knew where it was. But anyway, and the other thing I just, as I've been sitting here thinking was, you know, when I was down in the Cayman Islands and setting up this group down there, one of the things I recognized was that the people who really contributed were the people who enjoyed the program more, got it faster, and stuck around. And since I've come back here, the people who are left at the meetings are the ones that I remember doing the most service in the meeting. And it just kind of struck me, you know, in order to be in this program, really in it, really love it, really enjoy it, is to do it for other people, not just for ourselves. Ultimately, it is for ourselves, but it's really doing it for others. Anyway, if anyone, does anyone have anything else they'd like to contribute? Okay, let's close the meeting then. Let me just, oh yeah. Close the meeting with this serenity prayer.
Come back, it works.
It works.